Rambam. The mainstream view is the fact that the Rambam omits any heter with respect to yichud with one sister in the din of Ravasi. So that would indicate that he does not accept it. So therefore the Rambam would prohibit even temporary yichud with one sister. And this approach was taken by Rabbi Yerucham among the Rishonim Bedasa Rambam, as well as many other Rishonim and Achronim. The alternative reading, the Prisha, the Mishnah Melech, said no, the Rambam would agree sister is mutter. After all, once you don't paskin like Shmuel, and you do paskin like Ravasi, and he does, after all, he permits yichud with a daughter, so then there is no other opinion. Why doesn't he say it? Perhaps because it's better to be machmir like the Rashas. This, of course, is a difficult explanation. It's difficult to say natur, but at least there's a chreach, perhaps, to say it in natur, like we said, but it's especially difficult to say in the Rambam, because, after all, the Rambam is a sefer halacha, and had he meant to permit it, he should have said it's permitted. And not only that, but he indicated that it's usher, because he said yichud with all arayos is usher, except for father, daughter, son, mother, and therefore it seems like the Rambam is machmir. So assuming that explanation in the Rambam, that the Rambam is machmir, the question is why? So the Beis Shmuel, right at the beginning, Sif Katan Aleph, writes, Uvishas mevuar Rav Asi Omer Motel Yachad Imachoso Lefisha V'Darim Imo Bikfius V'Kasva Rashta Aloch Rav Asi V'Eini Yodei Olama Rambam V'Tor Shmito. So I don't understand why the Rambam omitted this halacha. V'Efshar D'Savrali Afal Gav D'Halacha K'Rav Asi B'Amed D'Palig Im Shmuel Aval Ma Shehosef Al Hamasnisin Les Hilchasa K'Vase Ki B'Masnisin Lotana Ela Yichudim Imo. That we accept Ravasi with respect to his dispute with Shmuel, but not with his respect to his addition onto the Mishnah. We already noted yesterday that Ravasi's Chiddush in the Gemara is a very big Chiddush, because the simple reading of the Mishnah is against Ravasi. It seems to prohibit all arayos with the exception of parents and children. And that being the case, we're basically going to split, and we're going to paskin like the Stam Masnisin, and the Stam Masnisin seems to only permit parents with children. So on the issue of Imo, we reject Shmuel, but on the issue of Achosa, we reject Ravasi. And the basis is the Stam Mishnah. Now you'll say, okay, it's great to paskin like a Stam Mishnah, but usually we paskin based off of Gemaras and not Mishnayos. It is interesting. I think Rav Stav points out that the Rambam oftentimes will sometimes permit the simple reading of Mishnayos against the Chukim in the Gemara. Obviously, this is a broad issue which we're not going to have a chance to look into today, but it might be a more general point. But the Rambam sees no reason to split it. So even though, in a sense, the Rambam is not like any opinion in the Gemara, he's not like Shmuel, and he's not like Ravasi, there are two issues. And we can, based off of we're going to reject Shmuel, because we, of course, paskin like a Stam Mishnah against Shmuel. It's true, it's a Machlokas Tanayim, but why would you not accept the Stam Mishnah? We're going to reject Ravasi, because it is against the Mishnah. Now, you could say, well, one second, if the Mishnah was against Ravasi, why did the Gemara ask Akasha on Ravasi, right? Lemet Yavetiv to Ravasi, just like we do for Shmuel. The answer is no. Like we said yesterday, you could be Dolchak, and you could be Miyashev the Mishnah for Ravasi. You could say, for example, that it didn't mention Bita Achoso because it's teaching you the bigger Chiddush in terms of Yashanim Amakir Basa or something along those lines. So the Gemara doesn't ask a Tiyufta because you can't really schlug up Ravasi from the Mishnah, but at the same time, the Pashte de Masnisin is against Ravasi, and therefore the Rambam, perhaps the Tur, and perhaps the Mechaber as well, who cites the Lashon of the Rambam, are machmir on this issue. Take a look at the Gras of Cut and Base. He writes, Chutz v'chulei masnisin sham v'afal gav damar Shmuel sham asal esiachet v'chulei ha'par chalami masnisin v'shani tanahi v'avilei stam masnisin u'machlokas bibraisa v'alach stam masnisin. So why do we permit daughter? Halacha is like the Stam Mishnah against the Machlokas in the Brisa. V'chein Masdis and Peibes. And Aleph to Lokavasei. Moreover, the Mishnah and Peibes and Aleph is also the Lokashmuel. V'af Rav Yehuda lo amar ela v'roa v'ravak. And even Rav Yehuda, who was Machmir in the next Mishnah, was only Machmir for Roa and Ravak. He wasn't Machmir for children or the like. That's a distinction that we also noted yesterday in the Rambam. V'chol amorai sham da'avdi kishmuel b'midas chasidus asu. The Amoran that were Machmir like Shmuel did so in Midas Chasidus. We talked about this yesterday. I don't know if the Rambam would agree to that formulation. He would say that it's not the pshat that the Amoran were Machmir for Shmuel. The Amoran were Machmir only in cases where it said Lo Nechshedu. And he cites Ramban and Ran on that point. And then the last five words, is Aval Harash Pasak Ravasi. When the Gra says Aval, he's contrasting. In other words, having gone through, he's saying basically the Rambam didn't pass him like Ravasi, and it's not just the Rambam, seemingly the Ramban and the Ran and others. Now Aval might indicate that's his psak as well, as he's paskening against the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rush, but you certainly see that he read that according to the Mechaber and the Rambam, and Lachar the Ramban and the Ran, though it's a little less clear in the Ran, but according to all those Rishonim, they're paskening against Ravasi. And the pshat is, like we said, because that is the pashtus in the Mishnah. Fine, so now the question is, how do we paskin? Now that, assuming for the moment that we assume that the Mechaber and the Rambam are Machmir and the Shaila, how do we paskin? So if you look at the Chalkas Mechokek, he is Mekel, Sifkat and Aleph. He writes that he cites Ravasi, that with a sister it's Mutter Arai, and he quotes the Rush that we paskin like Ravasi, and he quotes the Rush as well that Hamachmir Tavalov Bracha. So the halacha is that we paskin it's Mutter according to Chalkas Mechokek, but Machmir Tavalov Bracha. And many, many Achronim are Mekel Halacha L'maisa, among them the Archa Shulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, the Prisha, Chachmas Adam, and others as well. And that's because, despite what we said to be Miyashiv the Rambam, there's no doubt that the Pashtus in the Sugya is to be Mekel, because Ravasi's Mekel, and when you read the Gemara, it seems quite clear that if you don't paskin like Shmuel, you should paskin like Ravasi Lahakel. There is no middle view in the Gemara, and therefore many, many poskim are Machmir. What about for Sfardim? Maybe it's much less clear. Maran is Machmir. Now you could say it's not explicit. We noted yesterday that there are those that argue that the Rambam would also theoretically be Mekel, so you could say the same thing in the Mechaber. I saw, though, there are numerous, even Sfardi poskim that are Mekel, including Rav Avadi Yosef, that are Mekel for Sfardim, again, for Achoso B'derech Arai, despite the stima of the Shulchan Aruch. Fine? So that's Maran.
Why is
Maran
different?
No, I meant Maran is the Mechaber. There are lots of Marans. Right. Sorry. Okay. Now, then the question is, so why are we Machmir for Dira Bachoso? In other words, if you're going to say that there's no taiva for one sister, they were the Anshei Knesset HaGedola got rid of the taiva, so then even Dira should be Mutter. And if you're going to say that there is a taiva, so then even Yichud should be Aser. So the mainstream approach, Rav Moshe seems to assume this way, and Rav Schechter told me this, is that we typically don't have a Yetzer Hara for one sister, but there's a concern that if you live together b'kvius, then there could be a Yetzer Hara. The other approach I'll just mention that we said all the way at the beginning, but since we're back to here, is the Ragged Shefer Gaon, who thought that there's a Gzeres HaKasev Aser in Yichud for all Arayos except for those excluded in the Pasuk, namely a parent-child. And that being the case, then it doesn't matter that there's no Yetzer Hara. However, the Torah's prohibition was limited to Dira, and therefore, since there's no practical Yetzer Hara here, Chazal weren't gozer. Okay, it's a very creative and fascinating solution, though, as we noted before, it's against the pashtus in most of the Rishonim and Poskim. So, what is considered kvius for which we prohibit yichud with a sister? So, we find some Poskim giving a shear of 30 days. The Imre Yosher, this is Rav Elyashiv, Rav Shechter's Meikel. We find in many places in Halacha the shear of 30 days reflecting reflecting a Rai or Prakim or the like. Shechter gave the analogy of the being Roa Yam HaGadol. If you haven't seen it for 30 days, you make a bracha. It's not obvious why those two things are connected, but we find in many areas of Halacha that 30 days may be another analogy is mezuzah on a house in Chutz La'aretz that's being rented, and tzitzis on a baguette. We find many areas in Halacha where the shear of permanence is 30 days. Now, obviously, nobody's saying magically, you know, the taiva changes after 30 days. The point is we need a shear, since when there is dira, there can be this chshash of an aveira, and we need a shear, and the shear is, and therefore the shear for dira, for kvius, will be a shear that we frequently use in halacha, since we don't find any other shiurim, which is 30 days. Some poskim say the shear is 3 days. The Sefer Shilas Tshuvas Tzuf Dvash is 3 days. He writes actually an interesting thing. His understanding is, his diuk is, that it's dafka yichud arai and not dira arai that's mutter. So dira arai is aser. So he says that 3 nights is considered diras arai. And maybe there's some other tushtels in halacha where we find this year of 3 days. And yichud arai would be less than 3 days. Rav Vosner and Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Aleph,
Where's 3 days mean diras arai come from?
Not so clear. That's true. From Sukkah we have a different diff. Shena Sarai is a short nap. So again, the idea that these poskim are saying is we have to look for analogies because no shear is given. But you're correct that the connections are very weak. But in the absence of anything else. So the point is, 30 days is considered diras arai. That's what he thinks. So it can't be it's mutter for 30 days. So we have to make up a new shear.
Mezuzah is a very good parallel.
Mezuzah is a good parallel. Yeah.
It's 30,
yeah. Mezuzah is 30. But he thinks that's because it's diras arai. But yeah, I think that if you were going to make up a shear, the shear that makes most sense would be 30. I saw Sternbach writes, interesting, he splits the difference. He writes that you could 30 days when you're at home and the parents are going out of town, but 3 days if you're going to a different place. It's interesting, which is almost bringing us to the Mahalicha Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, in, again, the short Shuvos, Parak Yud Aleph, writes that there is no shear from the fact that the Rishonim and the Gemara didn't give a shear that shows that there is no fixed shear. The shear is what the Gemara says. And any time the Gemara doesn't give a shear, so that's telling you that there is no fixed and formal shear. So what is the shear? Whatever it seems. So that makes applying this halacha, obviously, very difficult. He writes, in this case, about leaving kids at home. He first justifies what he says is the minhag lakal, v'avadei ein, v'alnicham levadim b'vayis, b'alayla, l'shos, rabos, l'pamim krovos. Going out a couple hours at night the parents have to leave, go to a wedding, they leave the brother and the sister at home, that's certainly okay. But if they're doing this all the time, achi yischashev lahem kikvios, that's going to be aser. V'lo shayach liten al zeh davar kavua, l'chol, ela kafi hakaras kol achad es banav uvnosav, keiner lani es daiti. Now, it's a little bit hard to apply this because l'fi hakaras kol achad banav uvnosav, I don't think almost anybody would think that their son and daughter are going to get into trouble being left at home. It is interesting. I remember someone once asked me this question. They were living at their sister's apartment on the Upper West Side, and I mentioned that Dira is Aser and that you shouldn't do that. And their initial response is, you're crazy. And then they came back to me later and they said, you're right. I don't know what that means. But you know, we already saw, you know, from the Gemara's the importance of being honest with yourself about these matters and the like. So that's Rav Moshe. It's very mistaber in terms of the fact that the Rishonim don't give any shiurim, that there isn't going to be a fixed year. It's what seems like Dira, perhaps, according to this approach. It's going to be very different, you know, when you are a guest, even like the words we use in English. I'm a guest at their house versus, I don't know, I live with my sister. Reflect this difference. So it could be that if you say, like, I'm a guest at my sister's home, or sister's a guest at my home, if that's the way you would formulate it, so then there's more room for leniency. Now, how you define it will a lot of time depend on a lot of different circumstances, like what's their main home, are they visiting, is this like because they're touring, or are they planning to move to the city, or the like. And obviously there are a lot of subjective factors here, if you follow the view of Rav Moshe. As I said, it seems to me that the most commonly accepted view is 30 days. And I think probably you wouldn't want to be more makel than that. Now, what about other relatives? So what have we talked about so far? We talked about sister. So other relatives, yeah.
You mentioned before that if let's say you have a man or woman, then you have like one of their mothers, and she can be like as a shomer there.
Yeah.
So could a sister, I mean, I always have a shout out, could a sister count?
Could a sister be a shomer? It's a good question. So this is actually a machlokas, a poskim. And we'll talk about it more later. Many poskim are mako for sisters that are mako for other shomer. There are others that say, look, the only time we ever have mention of shomer in a Gemara is in the case, leaving aside the nashim shesono sozu, is the case of a little girl or a little boy. And generally speaking, we don't find that. There might be another example, the Rambam, when ishto imo. So we'll talk about that. But many poskim do assume, halach lemaisa, that any time there'd be a heter yichud, so there's also, that person would serve as a shomer. No matter what. Again, some are medayik. I think we mentioned this, that Baal Be'ir doesn't work as a shomer. That's the Or Sameach, but most reject that. If you take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva that we're about to quote, so we'll just wait. He quotes Machmirim on certain shilas, which we'll mention. There are those that say that close relatives, again, some are cited in the Pesachei Tshuva, can never work as a shomer. Why? Because they'll always cover up for you. Meaning to say, what's the basis of the heter of a shomer? Let's assume for a moment like Rashi. Since you're not going to sleep with them, so then you're afraid of doing anything in their presence, because they might let out the secret. Ah, so some posts can say, well, if that's true. So any time you have someone that you're confident has your reputation in mind, so then they can't serve as a shomer. And therefore, close relatives, so let's say a sister, even though there'll be a heter for yichud, she can't be a shomer to allow you to have yichud with another strange woman, unrelated woman. So there are poskim that are machmir on that child. And other poskim say,
there's also a mother.
Any time. Again, some poskim make further distinctions between this. Well, I hope Ezra Sashan get back to this tomorrow. That's on tomorrow's agenda. I hope. Okay. So what about other relatives? So the Rashash has a fascinating chiddush in our Gemara. The Rashash thinks that we're makel on yichud on other krovim as well. And from when the Gemara was matir achoso, at least yichud arai, if not dira bekvios, so is also matir other relatives. Now, at first glance, this is astounding, because how could that be? If the Gemara wished to be matir other relatives, it should have been matir other relatives. The fact that the Gemara only mentioned achoso, and achoso is a very close relative, let's say, to Rishon Berishon, so then certainly other relatives would be Asher. So what right does he have? Well, we'll see. We'll see what we mean in a second. So he brings a raya from Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon said, Hizar bimipnei kalasi. So then he would be matir daughter-in-law. Now, what is the raya? Because his Talmud was ligleg, and in the end his Talmud was nichshal. But it doesn't make sense, the Rashash says, that the Talmud would be milagleg if this was Aser, right? Rebbe, ha ha ha, you're following the halacha. That's so ridiculous. You're crazy. Right? No. He's following the halacha. It's Aser. So why would you be milagleg? Must be. It's mutter. That's the diak of the Rashash. It could be doch the raya. You could say that the Talmud was being milagleg, that he said, be careful about me. Hizarim bi mipnei kalasi. Of course. He thought it was Aser, but just like we said about Remeir and Biti, Pashtus and the Gemara, but the Talmud was like, okay, I understand, you're not allowed to have yichud with your daughter-in-law, but you don't have to go around saying, Yizar Abim Ipnei Kalasi! What kind of Pritzis Dekat Rebbe are you anyway? And that's what he was malaglek about. So you could be Docha the Raya, but that's the Rashash's Raya. Another Raya, he says, is from Rashi, who says it's Mutter, because Anshik Nesel Gedolah were Matir. And Anshik Nesel Gedolah Mervatel the Yitzhahara for all Krovim. Aye, Rashash asks, so why did the Gemara only mention Achoso? He said, the Chiddush is Achoso is even Aser for Dira. And you might have thought Achoso, since it's such a close relationship, it's like we said, Rishon Berishon, so even Dira would be Mutter. No, even Achoso is Aser Dira, and certainly other relatives. So that's the view of the Rashash. Is there a Rishon that says anything like this? So perhaps Rabbeinu Yeruchim says this. Rabbeinu Yeruchim writes, V'nira de bishar arayos aser l'syachet v'davka l'ador aval aprakim mutter l'syachet im kol arayos akrovos kegon achoso v'dodaso ukiyotze bahen. So from Rashash we included kalaso, and from Rabbeinu Yeruchim we have dodaso ukiyotze bahen. Okay, so now we have at least the two total categories. Then he writes the Ramban, but it should probably be the Rambam. Kas of Stam Asher l'siachidim kol arayos b'torah chutz me'imo vito v'chei nira ikar. So the raya from Rabbeinu Yeruchim is limited. He's actually paskening like the Rambam, and therefore prohibiting even achoso. But he does assume that according to Rav Asi, if you're going to be matir achoso for yichud be'arai, who had din dodaso, there shouldn't be a chiluk.
So this is a bit of credible in Sabbath Kaneah, in a certain sense. These are the only Surim Dereza. Or your Kurban, the only Surim Dereza, and yet the only way that it will be us is go up in Kaneah.
I mean, I don't know. Sabbath Kaneah, whether you accept it or not, is predicated on the fact that there's no taiva. Right? Now, you're right. If you could say that there's no taiva, then it's mistaber, it should technically speaking be mutter, especially because we saw that the Rishonim at least many of them assume that the reason why Chos is mutter, despite lacking the Gzeres HaKasav, is because there's no taiva, or there's a more limited taiva, or the like. And the Mekilim are basically saying, yeah, there's no taiva, at least post Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, there's no taiva. Now, so that's the svara of the Mekilim. The Radvazin and Tshuvas also Mekil, it seems, so is the Prachmat de Aaron, and maybe the Levush. So there are others that are Mekil. However, some Achronim bring these views down as a Limud Chos, like the Chikrei Lev and the Tzitz Eliezer and the like. I think the mainstream position is to be Machmir. Now, I think everybody's going to agree, it's not going to be all relatives. For example, nobody would be Mekil for cousins. Right? Cousins used to get married until it was Maisim B'chol Yom to marry your cousins, a mitzvah even. Nowadays, it doesn't happen too frequently anymore, for genetic reasons. But I have many friends whose grandparents are first cousins. Love it. So obviously nobody's going to have say that there's no there's no taiva if they got married and the like. Fine. Okay. Well, what about, so as I said, lahalacha lemaisa we're machmir on the shayla. Okay. Maybe as a limitzchus we have in the kilim. Maybe if there are other tzirufim lahatir we could throw this in. But the mainstream view is definitely to be machmir on that. But what about grandchildren? So if you look at the first or the second Pesachei Tshuva on our Siman, he quotes the Bach, Os Aleph, that's Mekel, for Chol Yotzei Chalatzav. When we are Matir Bito, we also mean Bas Bito, and though some Achronim disagree, the Pashtus, the Bach, is theoretically even a great-granddaughter, and the like. Now the Bach's discussion is primarily in the previous Siman, in Siman Chaf Aleph, which in the context of the discussion of Chibuk v'Nishuk im Ha'arayos. And to appreciate this, we have to actually do two things to appreciate this sugya. Number one is quickly look at the tour and at least refer to the Rambam over there in Siman Chaf Aleph. And number two is to read our Gemara on the bottom of Pei Aleph and Beis. So maybe we'll first read our Gemara first, since we're trying to follow Seder Adaf, but we'll skip to it. We'll get back to the stuff we skipped to tomorrow, I hope. So the Gemara has at the bottom of Pei Aleph and Beis a discussion on the Mishnah's permissibility of having the Mishnah's being matir, shena bekir basar and the like. The Mishnah already said that once higdilu, this is usar. The Gemara discusses what exactly higdilu is and why it is. The Gemara says, my taima yetzer al b'shay. Good. So these are the parameters for when shena with a child is mutter bekir of basar. Now the Gemara has a story, and the question is, how does this story relate to the previous Gemara? Is this a new topic, or is this a hemshech of the previous discussion? So let's read the story. Rav Acha bar Abba Ikla Lebei Rav Chista Chasne. So Rav Acha, or Rav Chanan, visited his son-in-law, Rav Chista. Shakle Levas Barte, Osvuha Bekanfe. He took his granddaughter, and now this next two words are not clear how they should be defined. He sounds like he put her in Knaf Bigdo. So if you look at the Riazakin on this Gemara, he writes that this is talking about Shiyashan Ima Bekir of Basar. Shinicha tachas bigdei mitaso. What does it mean? Bikanfe? Kanfe means bigdei mitaso, his blanket. He wrapped her up in his blanket together with him. In other words, what the Mishnah discussed as Shena Bakir Basa. The Ran specifically rejects this point. He says that can't be, because the Mishnah is matir bito with respect to kirv basar, implying bito dafka, nobody else. In which case, you have to say that whatever exactly he did, it wasn't shena b'kirv basar. He wrapped her up in his overcoat. I don't know what it means exactly, but it's not shena b'kirv basar. So let's read on. Amrle lo saver lamar de mekacha. Don't you remember? She's mekudeshes. Amrle, what? First of all, you see, he's a very nice father-in-law, because he didn't get upset that they didn't send him the invitation, but he had a different objection. Avarta l'chadirav, damar av yudamarav, yitamar av alazar, asr ladim shkadish bito kshiktana, ad shetagdu, v'tomar b'ploni ani rotze. It's not right to marry off minors. They need to be able to agree that this is a good idea, otherwise you get into trouble. Okay, Taisus earlier in the Masechta said maybe in bad times there's room for leniency, but generally it's wrong. So Mar Nami Avar Le'ad Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, and Mishtam Shem B'Isha. And apparently whatever it is he did, Osvua B'Kanfei, whatever that means, is Begader Mishtam Shem B'Isha. So that's an important thing to discuss. What does Mishtam Shem B'Isha mean? We'll hopefully get back to that today. What is included in the Isser Hishtamshus B'Isha. But whatever it means, it includes Osvua B'Kanfei, whatever that means. Lots of unclear terms here. Amarlei anak yiduch Shmuel, sfir leit amar Shmuel akol Hashem Shemayim. Okay, we have to understand that also. And we'll return to that as well. What does akol Hashem Shemayim mean? Be that as it may, if you learn like the Riyah Zakein, so then you have to ask, what about the Ran's Kasha? The Ran asked on the Riyah Zakein, how could you say this means Shena Kirav Basar, the Mishnah says Bito and not Basbito. So the Riyah Zakein apparently understood that when the Mishnah was Matir Bito, it included Basbito. And just as there are restrictions for Bito, like Gadla, so too there are restrictions for Basbito. And this may be the view of a number of poskim who, when writing the halacha, that the dinim of Shena, Bebito, Bekir, Basar mention things like if Niskach, it's Aser. Right? These Rishonim say that you can't sleep Bekir, Basar with your daughter, Imigdila, or Niskacha. Well, where do you come up with Niskacha? Obviously, the story. But one second, the story is Basbito. Ah, so you see these Rishonim must hold that we equate them. And again, that seems to be the view of the Riyah Zakein, and it's also rejected by the Ran. He thinks, no, this is not talking, it's basically two sugyos, right? So like I said before, the machlokas basically is this a new sugya, a new topic? Obviously somewhat similar and related, but a new topic, that's the view of the Ran. Or is this a hemshech of the previous discussion about Shena B'Kirav Basar and Bito, and applying the rules to Bas Bito as well? Now, it stands to reason that if you're going to permit Shena B'Kirav Basar, you'd certainly permit Yichud. After all, presumably Shena B'Kirav Basar has much higher standards, right? Yichud, for example, even with one's children, is permitted when Higdilu, but Shena B'Kirav Basar is not. So if you think that this is true, so then likely you'll think that just like we permit Shena B'Kirav Basar, you'll also permit Yichud. Now you could start being Mechalik, but that would presumably be the Pasha Pshat. Then it would turn out that Bas Bito would be Mutter for Yichud, and it's reasonable to extend that perhaps to all Yotzei Chalatzav. So that is the view of the Mechilim. So that's the view, again, among others, of the Bach. Now, this, our Gemara, relates to a different question, which is this story, whether you read the story like the Ran or the Riyah Zakein, which is what type of kirva is mutter to a granddaughter. So the Tur in Simon Chaf Aleph writes the following: "V'amachabek o haminashek achas meharayos she'en libo shel adam nokfo alayhem." So hugging and kissing arayos that people generally don't have taivos for, kigon achos u'agdola, the achos aviv, so sister, aunt, ukiyotze bahen, afal pi she'en lo shum hanaklal, right, it's your aunt, come on, still hareze meguna bioser. Now that line sounds sort of like it's not formally aser, it's just meguna. But then he continues, v'davar ze aser, she'en krevim le'erva klau, bein gedola, bein ketana, chutz me'av ubito ve'av livna. So he says it's aser. Now aser could mean formal iser, or no, maybe it's not the formal iser of negia, because we already said ein libo shel adam nokfo. It's aser because it's meguna, because it's stupid. It's not the formal iser. The formal iser might only be with respect to people for which there is taiva, but it's still aser because it's meguna bioser. It's totally inappropriate. So that's what the Torah writes. And then he continues, Kate said, Ha'av mutter l'chabek levito, l'nashek, v'lisha nima b'kirv basar, v'chein ha'em im b'na, kol zman shem ketanim, higdilu. And he quotes the halachos from our Gemara. What's higdilu? She'esh l'bas yud al shana, l'ben yud beish shanim, zeh yashim b'ksusav, zeh shem b'ksusav, v'abas bo shalamud, b'fnei avi aruma, oh, niskadsha. Like we said, we paskin that, even for bito. Afilu hi ketana sura, v'chein ha'em bo shalamud aruma b'fnei b'na, asher afilu katan. Right, and the Torah then cites all the halachos that emerge from our Gemara. Good. So, the Bach writes over there that we get mixed messages. On the one hand, it sounds like from the end, what he calls the end, that this is aser for everybody except for Av Levito and Ein Livna. But on the other hand, the beginning sounds like we might be more inclusive. So the Bach writes, V'nira d'resha dafka v'seifa lav dafka bito, el afilu bas bito v'chol yotze chalatz av shari, u'kedemasik d'amar shmuel akol l'shem shamayim. So he quotes our Gemara as l'shem shamayim, and he says, kol yotze chalatz av his mutter, meaning to say that a tour seems to be paskening the dinim of our Gemara, and our Gemara explicitly permits granddaughter, at least if you have L'shem Shemayim. And what does L'shem Shemayim mean? Rashi says, Ein dati achareha l'chibas ishos, el l'chibas kurva, v'lasos kores ruach, l'ima, k'sheni mechavev espita. And therefore, certainly, typically, when a grandfather kisses his granddaughter, that would qualify as L'shem Shemayim. There's no chibas ishus there whatsoever. And therefore, based off of, even though the Torah does say at the end, chutz me'av levito v'haim levna, since he cites our Gemara and the halachos that are derived from the story in our Gemara, and our Gemara permits this with even a granddaughter, assuming she isn't married, and the like, so me'mela, the halachos, clearly you could see that the Torah is mako for granddaughters. And then the Bach says it stands to reason that if negiah is mutter and kissing her is mutter and the like, so then yichud should also be mutter. And again, it makes a lot of sense, since after all, you know, why are we matir yichud? The pashtus is, once we say there's no taiva, then yichud should be mutter. And while you might say, and that's why we're matir achoso tev yichud, and even though we say it's meguna to kiss your sister, but when she's a gdola, but for grandchildren, we don't see that at all. Adarabba, the Gemara implies it's not meguna for grandchildren, more so than with children. you know, it's true that even with the grandchildren, once niskat chetzaser. But the same thing is true for children, for daughters, once it's niskat chetzaser, to do whatever the Gemara is talking about. L'halacha. And that is, so that's the view of the Bach. And it's quoted by many of the poskim, this Bach. If you look at the Chalkus Mechokik, for example, Simin Chaf Aleph Sivkat Mtes, he writes, So he says over there that achoso is also mutter. We apply this principle of akol l'shem shamayim, that we only permit it up to three. Important question to think about is, what does that mean, that there might be more flexibility even above three if it's still begeder akol l'shem shamayim? We see, for example, for Achosa, we are more Mako for Yichud than we are for Nishika. Anyhow, the Chalkus Mechokek there in Sifkat and Yud says, Chutz me'avel vito, v'hu adin l'bas bito k'daminan b'gemara kol l'shem shemayim. Meaning to say, bas bito, he cites our Gemara, the story in Rav Acha, Osve b'kanfein bito, and therefore it seems like the Chalkus Mechokek is being Mekel as well. The Beis Shmuel wonders about this. The Beis Shmuel quotes the Chalkus Mechokek. This is over there, Sifkat Yud Dalet. Kasav Abach, the Chalkus Mechokek, hu adin bas bito de mutter, daha rev acha osfei bekanfei bas bito. And he says, what about the Ran? How could you argue with the Ran? The Ran says bito is dafka, not bas bito. Uminalan lemekel be bas bito. But then he says, well, we cited before, maybe they're proving it from the Rambam and other poskim that don't seem to learn like the Ran, because they quote this halacha of niskacha being aser in the context of bito, even though it's derived from a story of bas bito. So, not so clear. So how do we paskin? So again, if you look at, in terms of Yichud, so maybe if you learn like the Ran, you would have to be Machmir, because the Ran understands when it says Bito in the Mishnah, it's Dafka, and maybe therefore, according to the Ran, you'd have to be Machmir. And there are definitely Achronim that are Machmir, among them the Node of Yehuda. As we also saw, there are Achronim that are Mekel, among them the Bach. And many try to bring a raya from the Shulchan Aruch itself in Hilchos Avelos. In Simon Shin Samach Beis Sif Gimel, we say that a ish is nikbaris in bina uven bina. And likewise, the Shach says hu adin bas bito, and the fact that they could be buried next to each other indicates ayin sham in terms of the dinim, that we would also be matir yichud. I think that's the minhag to be mako, both for Yichud and for kissing. That's what Rabbi Willig said, even though, again, there are gedolim that are machmir. In terms of chibuk also for bas bito, again, this is a big machlokas. Rav Moshe has a very interesting theory. Rav Moshe is in Evan Hazar Chelek Aleph Simen Samach, and Evan Hazar Chelek Dalet Simen Samach Gimel. He wants to be mechalek between ben bino and ben bito. What's the difference? Bas bito. He says bas bito reminds you of your daughter, and since she's mutter, so it's mutter. So you could kiss your bas bito because you could kiss your daughter, but your bas bino reminds you of your daughter-in-law, and it's aser. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you can't kiss her. It's not clear that this would apply for Yichud. This might be true for Chibuk V'Nishuk, where there's a Chashash Hirer, and the like. Yichud, where the concern is Nus, if there's no actual concern, it might be Mutter. That's what you might have said, though in Chelek Dalet, Simen Samech Gimel, he seems to compare the two. But again, here too, I think the Minug is to be Makil. Um, And he deals with the story in the Gemara and the like. Yes, it's late, but you can take a look at these Tshuvos. They're very interesting. Very interesting. He just has a very interesting methodological point in this Tshuva, which is written to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. And he says that Rav Ephraim asked him, well, the Gemara, or the Shulchan Aruch, says Bito. Sounds like, and the poskim, like you saw, say, Huadin Bas Bito. So, what about Bas Bino? Can we assume if they meant to be Mati or Bas Bino, they should have said that as well? So Rav Moshe says, no. If you think that there's no difference between them, Matu Tanaki Ruchla, the fact that they didn't mention it doesn't imply that they think it's Aser, because there's no difference, so there's no need to mention both Bas Bito and Bas Bino. But he says, but I think there is a reason to be Mechalek, and he cites the reason that I just said. And then he says, ah, but then if I'm right, so then they should have specified that it's Aser. So he says, well, maybe they weren't sure, so they left the matter ambiguous. And he says that sometimes when poskim leave things ambiguous, what they're basically saying is, I don't know. And lachen hinichu ze l'chol echad shiyaseh kafi shiyuzbar b'zeh. They sort of were sending you a message. I'm not sure what you should do, so you decide and figure it out on your own. And if you think this is mutter, then it's mutter, and if you think this is aser, this is aser. And he talks about this in a more global terms. Could you be medayik from silence? He talks about a gemara in chulin lamed tes and places where the rishonim do and where they don't. A very interesting methodological discussion about the extent to which you could be medayik from silence. But he claims to prove al kol panim atzinu sheyesh dvarim she'ein lomar lam iser v'lo heter v'gam los din safik. That there are, usually I would think that, you could be medayik, you should be able to medayik l'chumra, or be medayik l'kula, or be medayik safek, but no, there's a fourth category. There's, you could be medayik iser, mutter, safek, and it's up to you. A new category. Okay, very interesting point. Anyway, yes?
Is a grandfather allowed to hug his granddaughter that's married?
So, I think that we're makel on that as well. Now, the reason is because that is not what osvua bekanfe means. Whatever osvua bekanfe is, you're not even allowed to do to your daughter once she's married. So, assuming that you think you could kiss your daughter if she's married, so then you can't extrapolate that you can't do it to your granddaughter.
But the Gemara implied that he was surprised that it was married, meaning he wouldn't have. All the responses of the Gemara were
right.
That she was daughter. But it was
whatever the Gemara says that. Let's assume the diok you're saying is correct. Had I known she was mekudeshes, I wouldn't have done this. Right? Good. Now, but whatever this is, we paskin, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, is usher even for your daughter when she's married. The way the Rav Zakein says it is what it is Sheina Bekir Basar, or the equivalent. So that being the case, if you think you could kiss your daughter if she's married, and you follow the line of reasoning of the Bach, then who had in your granddaughter? If you think that you can't kiss your daughter when she's married, then you're right, you can't kiss your granddaughter. But you certainly can't be medayik that kissing your granddaughter is aser from this Gemara, unless you also think that kissing your daughter when she's married is aser. And if you think that we're not talking about kissing, then it's mutter. And what also emerges is, this is again the analysis, the Bach and others, is anything about which we could say a kol l'shem shemayim, which we'll define in just a minute, but anything about which you could say a kol l'shem shemayim should be technically okay. So if you could say that about your granddaughter, then it should be okay as well. Now, we have to figure out the gedarim of a kol l'shem shemayim, so we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Yes?
You mentioned Achoso, I think, earlier. How does this relate to the Sochosh relate to Achoso?
So Achoso is very interesting because we're Matir Yichud, And in terms of negia, so the pashup shot is that it's not formally aser, but it's meguna. And that might relate to achoso also being aser bedira. In other words, anything that's shayach to taiva, even if under normal circumstances there isn't taiva, so we're machmir, and therefore dira with achoso is aser, and that's why chibuk v'nishuk with achoso is meguna. Yes?
What about a granddaughter to a grandson? Maybe the same thing?
That's a first cousins, right? So we already said that first cousins, what?
What was it mean by the same as first cousins?
A granddaughter to a grandson, aren't
sure,
they?
Sure, I apologize. And then grandmother to the grandson.
Presumably it would be the same. You're saying, according to Rav Moshe, according to his equation, that we're machalik between Bas Bito and Bas Beno?
In terms of that, in terms of the Stam Minagolam, is what I mean.
Stam
Minagolam
is to be Mako.
I mean,
no, I think even, right, Willig is Mako. You could kiss your grandchildren could kiss their grandparents. Okay, I think that's the, I don't think, Rav Willig is not Choshish for Rav Moshe about this point.
What about the step-grandmother?
We have to talk about stepchildren first. Before we get to step-grandmothers, we have to talk about stepmother. So I guess let's talk about that first, at least with respect to Yichud. So what about adoption? So adoption is a tricky issue. On the one hand, it should be Aser, right? It's Yichud with an Erva, and she's not related to you in any way. It's... she might, you know, you might feel very close, but halachically, you're not related at all. And therefore, it would presumably be aser. So why is the matter not so simple? Because we've already seen that we're willing to be makel, at least under certain circumstances, when we know that there's no taiva whatsoever. And therefore, if you were to argue that there's no taiva, let's assume, to adopted children that are adopted as infants. So they were raised by you from infancy like children. It might be much more chamor with foster children that come later and the like. But let's assume the best case scenario, which would be adopted from infancy. So if we were to say that there is no taiva at all, just like for children. So just like we go ahead, according to many Rishonim that we've seen, and extrapolate from the heter of Bito to all cases where there's no taiva, and we were to say that there's no taiva for adopted children, so then maybe there's room for leniency. At the same time, we've also seen that, generally speaking, we apply Dine Yichud with a low plug, and we don't start saying, well, you know, it's true, but give me a break, she's 80 years old. Hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about Zakein, but generally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, says Yichud with a Zakein and Zakein and the like, and we say, we don't allow individuals to start saying on their own, well, there's no Chashash Bia here, so Yichud should be Mutter. So when we have certain categories in halacha that are exceptions, so then we're lenient. And even though the categories are permitted, let's say sister for arai, only because there is no shash, but adopted children is not generally a halacha category. You know, the Gemara talks about the idea of kol hamagadel, you know, Ben Chavero is Kilu Yaldo, and it's adopting children is a tremendous thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and the like. But generally speaking, there's no halachic category called adopted children. You know, the Haraya, the poskim use the modern Hebrew term, like Ben Obat Meumatzim. So maybe it's aser, even if you go ahead and you tell me that there is no taiva. And you also have to figure out, is it true that there's no taiva? So Rav Moshe discusses this. First, Rav Moshe discusses a case of geiros. What's the case of geiros? The case of geiros is where a family is nisgaru biyachad. So maybe you would think that even that's aser. It's true, they're biological children, but halachically, they're not related. There's no halachic relationship, certainly midaraisa, between the family, between the son and her mother, for example. So would yichud be permitted in that, under those circumstances? Because we'll say, okay, but the lack of tkifas yetzer. So Ramosha's meiko. And he says that's because tkifas yetzer is inyan tiv'i. It's natural. Naturally, people don't have a desire for their mother, at least normal, healthy people. Again, the fact that sometimes there are incestuous relationships is not new. The Torah asks it. It's always happened. But normally speaking, that's not something that naturally happens, that there's taivos. It's inyan tiv'i. And therefore, even though halachically they're not at all related, we could still be mekel, because biologically that inyan tiv'i is still fully there. And he proves it from the Gemara. He writes, V'lachein af shebikra lo namar hater yichud levito. Look, the pasuk itself, the drush itself, only is matir bito, the chazinan shebito shehishav le'imo. Dahamar didar im imo v'imbito afilu diras kava v'humishum shiyadu shalaka mitzara tava be'atzim shum taiva levas k'dechazinan me'ovda delot. Interesting rai from Lot. So he says like this, look, the pasuk only permits son mother. How do we know to permit father daughter? Right? Echatesi. And again, especially if you take the drasha very seriously, like some Rishonim do, as we've seen. So, what is the basis for permissibility? So Moshe says, it's very simple. There's no reason to be machalik. That same natural, biological reason, idea that's the basis for permitting mother with a son, also would permit a father with a daughter. And look at the story of Lot. I assume he means, why did the daughters have to get him drunk? Because otherwise there's no taiva. Now, maybe Lot just wouldn't have wanted to do it. But anyway, that's what it says. And therefore, it should be mutter. And if there was, so we wouldn't have permitted diras keva. Avali machoso, hafshe gamkin laka taiva, ein ze be'etzem mitzad habriya, el mitzad anshik nesagdola. So he makes it very interesting. So look, based off of this Rashi, we alluded to this possibility yesterday. Nowadays, we don't have desires for our sisters, but that was only because of anshik nesagdola. It's not something that's natural. Dehani be delo migri bekorvasa mechi kachlenu v'nekrinu leinesh mitzad ze ena hana v'ktas taiva l'enshi ikka hana v'ktas, is what we alluded to earlier. Therefore, there is some level of hana and taiva. Achshenu takiv kolkach, and therefore, under those circumstances, it's permissible. And then he writes, v'uadin im achos aviv achos imo. Sounds like he's willing to be meiko for achos aviv and achos imo, like a sister for yichud arai and not keva. So that's a very important leniency. Now, I assume he's only permitting blood relatives. In other words, my father's sister, but not my father's brother's wife. Because we can't just say he permits aunt. When we use the word aunt, we mean both the blood relatives and non-blood relatives. But at least with respect to blood aunts, yichud is permissible, just like achoso. And then he has a whole discussion in the sugya. So, okay, so he's meikel for adopted children. So maybe we will say that if you could be makel for adopted children. In other words, you don't need to follow the halachic definition of daughter. We'll follow the whether or not there's a taiva. So then we could be makel as well for adopted children. Right? I don't know if I said that rightly. For makel for converted children, we could be makel for adopted children. But he does not assume that way. And for one of two reasons. Number one is he already told us that with actual biological children, even if they're not halachic children, that's inyan tiv'i, and that inyan tiv'i is not necessarily true over here. It's certainly not biological that there's no taiva. But maybe it's because he thinks that the metzias isn't true. Meaning to say, maybe with adopted children, do we really know that the same level of lack of taiva that is true for adopted children is the same as for children? So we'll talk about that in a moment. It's not so pasha to make that assumption. So Rav Moshe basically, the thrust of his tshuva, you should definitely read it inside, is basically that yichud is aser, because it's a shasad chak, and also because of the fact that the father really doesn't want to get in trouble, let's say, with his wife, if something happened with the daughter. So we're going to, you know, adopt all the leniencies we could come up with, and things that we're normally machmir about under these circumstances, we could be makel. But he's not willing to say everything is mutter. So, for example, he notes, by the way, interestingly enough, you mentioned this question before about hugging and kissing. So he says, hugging and kissing your adopted child is much more kal. I forget, I once heard a story. I don't remember who it was from. I heard the story from Rav Willig. I don't remember who was it about. But it was about someone who adopted a child. He had children already. There was someone, I think, who was a Yosoma. And when he adopted her, he stopped kissing any of his children. He didn't kiss his own daughters because he didn't want to kiss his adopted child. And he didn't want her to feel worse than his children. So he didn't, from that day on, he didn't kiss any of his children, at least, I don't know, maybe in her presence or maybe not at all. Anyway, so Moshe says, kissing is more kal. Why is kissing more kal than yichud? Because really when it comes to negia, this is a bigger topic which we're not going to get into now, the iser for negia is negia b'dar chibar, negia b'dar chibas bia, right? Like the Shach points out. The pashup shot is that there's no iser negia. There's an iser negia b'ayos when it's negia b'deras chiba, b'deras chibas bia. And that's why Rav Moshe is makel by subways or with doctors, right? Why is it mutter for a female to go to a male doctor or the like? Because it's not chibas bia. It's not negia b'deras chiba. So therefore, to be makel for let's say even kissing, so usually obviously kissing is der chiba, but kissing your adopted child isn't necessarily der chibas bia. It's chiba, but not chibas bia, in any sense. So to be makel for kissing, so there's more room for leniency, whereas to be makel for yichud, it's more difficult to be machmir, to be makel. I'm sorry. So as I said, so he's willing to throw out all the stops. He says, we'll see, even though usually we paskin yichud with a girl above 3 is aser. Here he says you could be makel up to 8 or 9. He doesn't tell you why. Presumably it's because, even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both say 3, not at all obvious why that it should be mutter with 3. And there's a couple of rios. First of all, there's no taiva. And second of all, that's what you see from the Gemara, that you're not, there's no chashash will be mafat to her, right? Which is why she works, she's matir to be a shomeres. And taka, the psak that we have, based off of the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that it's usher to have yichud with a 5-year-old girl, but she would serve as a shomeres, is a very startling thing in light of the fact that generally we assume we're not choshish for onus. So we'll hopefully talk about that tomorrow. But he's willing to be makel up to 8 or 9. Generally speaking, as we mentioned, it's going to be easier to adopt a son than a daughter, because the heter of Baila Be'ir is much more robust than the heter of Ishto Imo. Again, that's also something we're going to talk about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, the heter of Ishto Imo. But even here, in terms of Ishto Imo, he's willing to be more makel than he usually is, because the mother would figure out if something was going on, and therefore an Ishto Ein Lestor Af im nizdamin ezizman katzar shaloya ishto v'nishar hu levado im bita v'im ayisoma shemegadlin v'chein lehepoch im hi nisharazman katzar im bino v'im yasom shemegadlin. So Palamaisi's machmir in the end of the day are the mekilin. So the tzitzel yazer is more or less meiko. If you want to look, it's in chelek vav simen mem perk chaf aleph. It's a long tshuva. And it's interesting, because he brings all sorts of very, I don't know, not so simple rayos lahakel. If I was writing a tshuva lahakel, I would simply say, look, there's no taiva, and he assumes there's no taiva. So there's no taiva, and there's no iser yichud when there's no taiva. And you could quote that Bach that we just mentioned before, who, like, you know, says that since bas bito, there's no taiva, there's no yichud, and the like. Lamaisa, he's Mekel, and as I said, he brought us very interesting rayos, which seem a little questionable, viewed from the Levush and this and that. But he's only Mekel, at the very least explicitly, when they were adopted from infancy, or very young age. And that's because, like we said, in that case, he assumes that the fact that the parent raised this kid, you know, changed her diaper and the like, so then, just like a child, there's not going to be a tithe under those circumstances, so too with an adopted child there won't be. So I spoke to Rabbi Willig about it, and he more or less agreed that in theory, if it could be shown that there is no tithe, then maybe there's room for leniency. He didn't know if it's been shown. If you look at the research, it's not so clear. I was trying to figure this out a little bit. I saw one study that showed that research provided evidence of a 5-fold increase in the risk of abuse for stepchildren compared to biological children. The question is, adopted, there definitely is a much higher incidence of abuse in stepchildren. The question is, when they're adopted from infancy, is there a difference? And I couldn't figure it out exactly. It seems that it's not as high as stepchildren, but it's not as low as natural children, and it's not so clear. And we mentioned last time that maybe the same halacha issues would even apply for donor sperm and donor eggs. Maybe there's a little more of a tzad lahakel, like we said last time. We said that if it's a donor egg, so then we could throw in a Tosus HaRash. Obviously, Lamaisa, these issues are serious shilas that have to be addressed with a competent postgame should they arise. Yes?
If a person adopts 2 children, would the siblings have the same heter?
If you follow the Tzitz Eliezer, then maybe. Oh, you mean siblings that are related to each other?
No, not like
not unrelated.
Children. Yeah.
So if you follow the Tzitz Eliezer and they grew up together, maybe. I don't know. Interesting question. Okay, I guess it's late. I wanted to do one more topic, and then we'll leave everything for tomorrow. What time is it? Yeah, one more quick topic, which is, I said we're going to talk about Ein Mishtamshin Be'isha Klal, and also the Heter of L'shem Shamayim. So, The Isser of Hishtamshas B'Isha comes up twice in Kiddushin. Once, what we said over here in the context of our Gemara, where we say that whatever Osvuha B'Kanfe means would be B'Chlal Hishtamshas B'Isha. And then the Gemara earlier on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Amar Lei, they said, this is to Rav Nachman, said, Tesi Dunag Tashkinan, Dunag, that was the name of his daughter, should come and give us drink. Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha. So Rav Yehuda said to him, 1 second, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha. So Ketana, no, she's a Ketana. 1 second, the Gemara asks, Beferish Amar Shmuel, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha Klal, Bein B'Gdola, Bein B'Ketana. So therefore, this seems to be Aser. So we have two examples of Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha. One is our Gemara of Osua B'Kanfei, putting her in his blanket or in his cloak or something like that, wrapping her up in some way. And then the other example is the Gemara in Ayin, which sounds like you can't even ask a little girl to serve drinks because Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha. So why not? So here we have a Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. Rashi over there says, Ein Mishtamshim B'Isha, Shelo Yilamdena Lios Regila Bein Ha'anashim. It's not so much an immediate concern as much as a regilus that will develop if she gets used to hanging out with guys. The Rambam writes, why is this? Ein Lashtamish B'Isha, the Zisur B'Achaf Aleph Hei, Ein Lashtamish B'Isha Klal, Ben Gdol, Ben Ketana, Ben Shevcha, Ben Shechreres, Shama Yavo, Lidei Hear Her. The reason is because of hear her. Now, you could l'chora bring a raya for the Rambam from our Gemara that says it's mutter if it's l'shem shemayim. So if the concern is hear her, so we'll say, yeah, no, your granddaughter, there's no hear her. It's less obvious that there would be this heter because maybe it would still create the regulus. Okay, Rashi will say no. Since it's L'Shem Shemayim, apparently that would solve the problem of Shelo Yilamdena Lios Regila. So then the Rambam continues.
Well, it's also not like a style of guy, it's your grandfather.
Yeah, even though the Gemara says it more generic, you know, broadly speaking, Hakol L'Shem Shemayim Mutter. As whatever is L'Shem Shemayim is Matir, this Isser Vishtam Shaspisha, whatever that is. So that's what I'm saying. The fact that there's a heter of L'shem Shemayim, for Shtam Shas B'Isha, is easier to understand when it comes to hear her than it comes to Shalal Hargila. It's not saying this is a Pirchan Rashi, which is a little easier to hear. So then the Rambam continues, and again, this is the big question. If you learn like Rashi, you know, one would think that, you know, you shouldn't be able to have a secretary or... you know, if you guys came to my house for lunch, my daughters could not serve the food or anything like that, because that's exactly what the Gemara is offering. So the Rambam writes, Be'ez Shimush Amru, L'chitas Pana V'yada V'ragla V'atzas Hamita L'fana V'mizigas Hakos, She'en Osa L'ish Dvarim Elu El Ishto Bilvad. So the Rambam says that we're talking about a very narrow type of shimush over here. He quotes three things. These are three things that wives do to their husband, for their husband, and there's an aspect of chiba, and therefore the Rambam says a concern for hear her. But let's say having a secretary or somebody pick up your dry cleaning or whatever that is, so that would not fall under this Isser. It sounds like only these three things. And presumably, the Rambam is saying that since the chashash over here is hear her, so memela, it makes sense that it should be limited to things that are more likely to cause hear her. Now, an interesting thing to consider is let's get there in a second. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Rambam, or do we paskin like Rashi? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rambam in Eben HaEzer Chaf Aleph Hey. So that's going to be a more narrow focus. He writes, Aser l'shtamish b'isha klal b'en g'dola b'en k'tana b'en shifla b'en shu'er shem ha'yavu l'idei hira ha'veira b'ezeh shimash amru v'rchitzas panav yad v'raglav v'afilu l'itzok lo mayim l'rchotz panav yad v'raglav v'afilu eina no gazboz aser v'otzas hamita b'fanav. Again, it's only b'fanav that's aser hatzas hamita. Same halachos apply when one is married in terms of the harchakos. U'mezigas hakos. Okay, adkan the Shulchan Aruch, more or less the Rambam. Haga v'yeshomim du adin b'achila ima b'kara nami aser b'chol erva k'mo b'ishto nida v'yesh mekilin b'chol eile delo asru dvarim shel chiba rak b'ishto nida. Meaning to say, we have a number of harchakos, but those harchakos are limited to nida, not other arayos. Since there's a greater closeness to ishto nida, and you're sleeping together in the same room and the like, so we have other harchakos, but they don't apply to other arayos. V'yeshom v'duchol ze'enu aser rak b'makom yichud, aval b'makom shrob ne'ad mitzuyim kigon b'merchatz, mutter l'erchotz me'odes kocham shvachos. V'cheinogim, so the minhag the Rama writes is to be makel that shvachos, wash your feet, or whatever it is, at the merchatz. Why? Don't we say, you know, that's one of the examples that's aser, explicitly in the Rambam. So the Rama says, no, there's a heter anytime it's shelo b'makom yichud. And the post can point out that this doesn't mean regular yichud, any place that shchichi rabin, even if is going to be permitted. Obviously, if, you know, you can't have yichud anyway. So if all it meant was to say that, well, if there's heter yichud, then it's mutter, so then, and it's only aser when it's yichud, so then you don't need to say it, because it's aser anyway, else yichud. Fine, so this means makom sheshchichi rabim, then there's a leniency. V'yesh omrim d'chol she'enu osa derchiba, rak kavana aso l'shem shamayim, mutter. That's our Gemara. L'chein nagu l'hakel b'dvarim elu. So, quotes, Tosfos in our sugya, right? Our top Tosfos says, what are we somechan? Al zeh anu somchen, hashta, shanu mishtamshim benashim. Tosfos already says, doesn't tell you what he's referring to, but the minug is to be mekel on hishtamshis benashim. What are we somechan? L'shem shemayim. Now, what does that mean exactly? What are we mekel on, and what is the scope of l'shem shemayim? But one way or the other, that is quoted by Tosfos, by the Rama, and therefore he says, anything that eino osa derechiba is mutter. In other words, what does hakol l'shem shemayim include? Right. So Rashi already told us what l'shem shemayim means. Ein da'ati achareha l'chibas ishos, ela l'chibas korva. So if it's not chibas ishos, so then we could apply the heter of kol l'shem shemayim, and the Rama says that's what we're somechan. Okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that based off of this, you shouldn't be surprised at the minhag ha'olam b'chol tfutzos Yisrael, when guests come and the wife of the Baal HaBayis is mechabdam b'ma'achalim u'mashkam u'mozeges lahem esakos. She even does mezigas akos, which isn't one of the things that's aser. How could that be? Ein iser klal b'zeh. And even if the Baal HaBayis isn't there, it's still mutter. Kevan she'enana osa derech shimosh hiskarvos, ela mepnei achnasas orchim. You have to be chalik between derech achnasas orchim and derech shimosh. This is a very difficult thing to understand in light of this story in the Gemara. What, Rav Nachman's daughter was also presumably acting derech achnasas orchim, and yet the Gemara said it was aser. So other poskim don't say it that way, the way of the Aruch HaShulchan, but they say it a little differently. The Ezer Mikodesh, for example, says we're noeg lahakel even hatzasa mita, havasa ochlem, umashkin l'shochan, al yidei mishareses. Why? We say when lots of people around, there's not a kpeda, ishto ima, there's no kpeda, b'chol ofen de lo shayach iser yichud, there's no kpeda, and the like. And it's based off of these kulas that l'maisa, like we said, the minig is that women will bring food to the table and other such things and the like. Now, the final question is, how far does the do you go with this heter of Kol Hashem Shemayim? So we already said, Tosfos said, this is what we're Samech on, but that's for Shtam Shos B'Nashim. So maybe that's saying, okay, you know, we're made for HaKol Hashem Shemayim when women bring the meat to the table or whatever it is. Okay, HaKol Hashem Shemayim, but what about more than that? So there's a very famous ritva here, and the ritva is cited by some poskim. If you look at the poskim at the end of Simen Chaf Aleph in Yeridaya, in Eben Ezra, I'm sorry, they cite this ritva. The ritva is a very expansive, or at least potentially expansive, ruling here in HaKol Hashem Shemayim. He writes, V'chein Malchusa, Da'akol lefi ma sha'ada makir ba'atzmo. So HaKol Hashem Shemayim requires self-awareness. Im ro'i lo lasos harchakol yitzvarosa, if you have to make harchaka to your yetzer hara, then you have to do it. And if not, then not. Now clearly he's not assuming like Rashi that the reason is shalom dan ha'lios ragila bein ha'anashim, because then it doesn't help that I know I'm a big tzaddik, so this isn't going to be a problem for me, but what about her? Right? She's going to be mirugelas. To say no. That he's understanding along the lines of the Rambam that the issue is hear her. So if you know that you don't need to do a harchaka for your yetzer, then okay. And this is something to keep in mind. We have many harchakos in terms of from women. For example, the halacha is you're not allowed to look at big dates of onim shel isha. V'makir ba'atzmo sheyitzro nechna v'kafaflo v'ein mala tina klal. Right, so you know for sure that looking at big dates of onim shel isha will not cause any problems at all for you. Then mutar lo listakel uladaber im ha'erva v'lishol b'shlom eishes ish, which is another thing we know is aser. In other words, we know that you're not allowed to speak to women. So how could anybody be makel to speak to women? So he says, in makir be'atzmo, that this isn't going to lead to problems, then it's permissible. V'hainu ha'id Reb Yochanan, he gives the extreme example. D'yasev ashare tvila, v'lo chayesh ha'yetzer hara. Reb Yochanan used to stand outside the mikvah. The women would look at him and see how beautiful he was, and that would be good for their children afterwards. But one second, how could Rabbi Yochanan do this? No, Rabbi Yochanan knew himself that this would not lead to a problem. Rav Ami dinafki le'am hasa de be'kesar, the kamer me'rabanan de mishtai behade hanu matrinisa. All these stories of the rabbanim hanging out with the matrinisas. Well, what's going on? Kol Hashem Shemayim. Rav Ada Barava, sorry?
That was in the Besaraya, some of the Rabbis that almost be mixed.
Okay, yeah. So, you're right, and different stories might be explained differently. Sometimes they were on, you know, important business to save Gal Yisrael and things like that. Obviously, when applying this heter, you have to consider all factors, like what's the cost of being machmir? There's no reason to be makil. So even if you think it's safe to be makel, then you are more likely to be machmir if the cost is very high, because, you know, whatever it is, everybody knows the circumstances that these come up, let's say with respect to talking to women or the like. So presumably part of this is applying a cost-benefit analysis. And then he says the story in Ksubos, Rav Acha, Dinakit kala katve birakid ba. He put the kala on his shoulders and danced. Right? How could that be? The answer is because he knew himself that this would not lead to hirhurim. But this is not for anybody to do. Chasid gadol shemaker biyitzro. The lo kol talmidei chachamim betuchim biyitzrayim. As we know from the stories in our Gemara, the ones that we skipped, rated R. But it's clear that just because a person is a talmud chacham doesn't mean he doesn't have a yetzer hara, and it's not a bad thing. That's a natural thing. Rav Willig likes to tell the story of how somebody once said, like, what's the big deal about going to mixed beaches? You know, I know it's not going to cause tyros for me. So I think he says this about Rav Elia Lepian. I'm not sure that he says. Rav Elia said, call a doctor! Something's wrong! If you could go to beaches without being a problem. So even being a Talmud Chacham, not every Talmud Chacham could be boteach be yitzran. Kedechasin and bishmaitin b'chol hani uvdin demaisi. Exactly the stories in our Gemara. The Ashrei mi shegover al yitzro v'amalo umnaso b'toyra. Shedivrei Torah omdin lo adam v'yalduso v'nosin lo achris v'tikva le'siknuso. Shenem marodin v'um zeyv shenem anim v'yu. And with that he closes the Masechta. Rav, so as I said, this is quoted by the Piskei Tshuva and Avinazer Chaf Aleph of Katan Dalid. Take a look. He says that's how we could explain Elisha sending the Gehazi to ask about the Shunamis. You can't be Shal B'Shalom Isha Ayin Sham. Anyway, so this Ritva is very important lahalacha, and in a sense we are somech on the Ritva to some degree, like I said, with respect to talking to women and the like. And there's no doubt that to some degree the fact that if a person is frequently in the presence of women, that does perhaps decrease the chances of hirhurim under normal circumstances, because they're ragil. That doesn't necessarily mean that society should be that way, but if that's the reality, that's already true, so then that plays a role. But at the same time, one has to be careful about taking this too far. Because even though the Ritva says it's mutter, because, you know, kfi mash adam makir ba'atzmo, but people aren't always makir ba'atzmam. And Rav Blachman, I think, whenever quoting this Ritva, tells the story of how he had a friend who was involved in Kirov. He didn't say what he was doing. But anyway, Rav Blachman apparently asked him, you know, how is this mutter what you do? I don't know what it was, NCSY or what. So his friend told him the Ritva. So he came to him a couple years later and he said, did it work? So he said, no. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what he's referring to and the like. But we all do know that Lamaisa, applying this Ritva is very difficult in a practical way. And that's why, like we said, obviously, whenever these shilas come up, a person has to consider the matters very carefully with a posek who knows them very well. Not to say that the Rebbe couldn't know you, you know. It's makir ba'atmo, so unless your Rebbe's also a Navi. But still, it's something that these matters in halach l'maisa way have to be considered very, very carefully. But it is certainly the case that certain things that might be okay for some people are not okay with other people, and depends on age, and it depends on whether you're married, and other factors as well. Okay, so we'll pick up tomorrow, and whatever we could do in terms of odds and ends, I'm putting everything that we haven't done thus far as odds and ends. So we'll do tomorrow Be'ezras Hashem. However, I am not around tomorrow afternoon, unfortunately. So, can anyone make shir at 9 o'clock? Can anyone not make shir at 9? Okay, so shir tomorrow is at 9 o'clock a.m. And hopefully we'll finish by shkia.